Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about the things that get you to blow your audition. Now, these are going to be things, just kind of general don'ts that I find most actors doing that keeps them from booking. I'll explain. Every audition is an opportunity for you to test your mettle. Okay? So if nothing else, you have an opportunity to have another experience in order to sharpen your skills. So, upon getting that audition, you're already winning. You have another opportunity. You have another opportunity to crack the code of this particular audition. You have an opportunity to show up to the audition, to improve your skills at the way you carry yourself, handle yourself in that outer office, handle yourself in that inner office, to improve your skills in interpreting the script, the sides, to try and make it a winning portrayal so that you can get the role. It's a chance for you to learn more about what this industry is. So upon getting that audition, you're already winning. So no negativity. Let me talk about a lot of little things, like, for instance, wardrobe. I recently did a coaching with a young lady, and the description read, she is wearing a black tank top, black shorts. I immediately said, whatever you do, don't wear that. She was like shocked. What do you mean? It says right here. I said, yeah, I know it says right there, but here's a basic rule I have. You want to try to come off like someone who has their own mind, not like, you know, sheep. Oh, it says here black. You know what happens? Every single person, every single woman shows up in a black outfit. Some of you who have been on auditions know exactly what I'm talking about. I'll go walking into an audition, all of a sudden I just see a sea of black outfits, and I know immediately, it said she's wearing black. Having been someone who has been on that side of the table and auditioned over 10,000 actors in my career, I can tell you after watching people every 5 minutes all day long, we start to wonder who the people are who are going to be individuals, who are going to think for themselves. You know, when the writer writes, she wears black, that's not necessarily the law for the movie. That's just the keys that this writer happened to hit. Okay, maybe the character will end up being in an all-black outfit. Maybe not. But that's not why we hire people. Oh, they got the outfit right. Oh, they didn't get the outfit right. We can hire her. Now, does that mean that we thumb our nose to the description? No, not at all. But just, you can do it in the spirit of that. I told her not to do that. She didn't. And then I said, I want you to text me from the audition when you get there, because I guarantee you everyone else is going to be in black. And indeed, every single other girl was in black. Black hoodies, black. Yeah, maybe they didn't have a tank top, but they had a black hoodie, they had a black t-shirt, they had a black this, a black that. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, you know, I mean, obviously you want to stand out. I mean, you don't go in with a tiara on your head and, you know, an evening gown. You do it in the spirit, but have your own mind about it. When it's a description for a guy and it says, you know, he's dressed to the nines, he wears a blue pinstripe suit with a pink shirt and gold cufflinks, and then the person comes in, a grown man exactly that way, I think, come on, man. You didn't need to try that hard. You didn't have to go with the gold cufflinks. You didn't have to have cufflinks. You could just wear a suit. You could wear a nice suit. You could wear your nice suit. But to try and find a pink shirt and everything, no, it's just like you people that think that when you go in for the doctor part, you wear a doctor's outfit and you bring a stethoscope. I know that some of you out there are saying, well, I've actually booked wearing those types of things. Okay, and I mean this is no disrespect, but I'm going to guess it wasn't for a big role. It was a small role. You had a few lines, you got the role. Okay, let me tell you what happens on the other side of the desk. We see you come in, and it looks a little desperate. We look at you. You know, we like your demeanor. The read was fine. we actually overlook the fact that you wore the jacket, had the stethoscope, and looked desperate. We actually overlook it. We don't look at it and go, ah, excellent. Now we don't have to have wardrobe. Oh, excellent. This person really cares. That's not what made your performance. So you might say, well, what would I wear then? I don't, just anything. What, you've never seen a doctor and just their shirt? And what do we care? We're not hiring people because of your costume. And for me, my rule of thumb about costume wearing is you wear whatever you might wear at your local grocery store where everyone knows you. So if you walked in a doctor's outfit, you'd have a lot of people maybe go, oh, hi, Jeff, I didn't know you were a doctor. No, that's dress up. Would you wear a suit? Sure. Would you wear a really nice dress? Yeah. Would you wear an evening gown or a tuxedo into your local store? Geez, probably not. Not unless, you know, you had to grab something right before the prom. You don't want to look desperate. You don't want to look like you're trying too hard. Why? Well, I think it's just kind of a thing in life. You know, we want to feel like you're not desperate to get the role. I know that sounds weird maybe because you think, well, aren't we though? Yeah, but it would be like saying you're desperate to have a date. You're desperate to, you know, desperation. It isn't that attractive. As I keep saying, you know, we don't hire fixer-uppers. We don't hire restoration projects. We're not a soup kitchen. We're not looking for the down and out. You know, it's that thing where when somebody starts working, they just keep working because people like to hire successful people. That's just how it is. I mean, maybe it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. So you always want to come off like, you know, I'm not too desperate. And that's tough, I know, for some of you, because you're so desperate. You got to stop the negativity. And you say to me, yeah, but I'm just kind of a negative person, you know. I mean, I'm insecure. I have these problems, you know. I always feel overwhelmed. And I think, okay, well, there you go, right there. I'm telling you, if you want to succeed, you have to stop that stuff. It's a choice you're making. Stop making that choice. If you say to me, no, I can't help it. It's not a choice. I have no choice. Well, yes, you do, and you made it. That's your choice. You've decided to be that way. It's not going to help. It doesn't help. It hurts. It's why you're not booking. You're indulging in a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of sad ass, feeling sorry for yourself, allowing yourself to be overwhelmed, underwhelmed. It's detrimental. You say, oh, I know it is, but I just can't stop. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And if you don't, it's because you don't want to. So you have to decide whether or not you actually want to be a champion. And if you do, you have to be way more mindful of the way you look at everything and the way you deal with everything. So you've got to stop putting all of this energy in either these negative areas where you're finding everything you can wrong. These lines are bad. You know, that there's hardly anything here. There's too much here. I can't stand playing these roles. Why do I keep doing this? Whatever this stuff is that you guys torture yourself with, you just have to stop. And if you think that you can do it and still book, well, I don't know. Look at your score sheet. Is that working for you? And if you think that isn't part of the problem, well, I'm here to tell you on the podcast it is. And I know this because, as I say, I coach lots of people. And as soon as I get them out of that headspace, I notice their careers start to change. Because it's like a foundation. And if you disrupt it right in the beginning, it kind of screws up everything down the line. It hurts your ability to memorize your lines. It hurts your ability to make a decision on your wardrobe. It hurts your ability to, you know, be confident when you show up. It just wrecks everything down the line. So you want to start with a thing where you read it. If it is a thing you're going to do, there's no more negativity about it whatsoever. You don't make fun of the lines. I have people come to me all the time. They say, oh, these lines are so lousy. And then I read them. I think this is some of the best stuff I've ever read. So, you know, you shouldn't work that way, because it may just be because you can't find a way to interpret them, or you don't understand them, or, you know, it's not the way you normally speak or something. And so you immediately start talking that way about it. That's not going to help you do a good job. You embrace everything. I'm here. These are the lines I'm doing. It's fantastic. This is what's going on. I'm not going to wear all black. I'm not going to wear the pinstripe suit just because it says that. I'm going to do my rendition, because when we sit in that room, we want to see individual artists walk in. We don't want sheep. And you think, is it that grating? Is it that bothersome? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When you sit there and you watch this, you know, every 5 minutes and you see these people come in like sheep, everyone's wearing the same thing. We think, does anyone have, you know, we sit there and we think, let's see if somebody comes in without a black tank top on. Let's see if a guy comes in and he doesn't have cufflinks on. Let's see if a guy comes in and he doesn't have a pink shirt on. Yeah. Yeah, it's a funny thing. Now, does that mean that we give the part to the person who doesn't have the pink shirt? No, but we take note. And we think, okay, here's someone who's not intimidated by what somebody just kind of wrote in a script. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're not looking for robots. We're looking for artists. We're looking for jazz musicians who are going to come in and they're going to riff their own way. They're going to bring their individuality to the thing, their flair. And we look for that more as you move up the food chain. Because obviously I also coach people who go in for leads and things. And that's when I tell them, most of all, this is when they want your imprint. Because once a person gets a large role in a TV, if the TV show is worth anything, or the movie or whatever, well, certainly with the TV show, if the TV show is, you know, have their heads on right, what they tend to do is they will start to shape that part around that character and try and mine that particular actor for everything they can to make that part even better. So we're looking for your individualism with regard to stage directions. Avoid as many stage directions as possible. Don't do any miming. Don't do any of that shit. Stop it. Stop it. How many people come in when it says, you know, he clears his throat, he flicks his hair, he scratches his nose, and every single person does it right then? We sit there again and we think, geez, I wonder if somebody's going to come in and not scratch their nose on that line, or flick their hair, or clear their throat. Sometimes these stage directions written by writers, because writers aren't necessarily excellent directors or excellent actors, they will write in kind of indicated stuff, like he's telling a line, he clears his throat, which of course in real life, if you did, we'd say, what are you lying? You just cleared your throat and look sideways. You look like a liar. So the actors all do it because they think that's like the law. It isn't the law. The only law is we want you to say all the words. We'd like to hear the script. We'd like your rendition of that scene, but we do want to hear all of our lines. And that's where, as far as I'm concerned, your obligation stops. So if it says, you know, put that knife down you're holding in your hand above your head, then I guess you got to mime a knife above your head. But if they don't actually speak to something that's actually occurring in real time and saying, hey, you know, stop choking yourself, then I guess you don't have to choke yourself, you see? And the reason we want to avoid miming is because it looks silly enough in the room when you're like playing with something that's not there. But once they send that tape to the producers and they're watching it on a TV screen, boy, it looks really dumb. And it's reminding us that it's all bullshit. It's all fake, because now you're holding something that's not there and you're talking about it, and it just looks dumb. So when you look at your script, see if there's a way that you cannot do it. For instance, if I say to you, hey, that's quite a gun you have there. It could be in your holster. It could be on your side. It could be on a table in front of you. What do we care? We don't care. But when you sit there and pretend like you have something and most people aren't good mimes, you just look a little dumb and it always looks a little desperate. Because I promise you, as you go up the ladder, actors care about that stuff less and less. They figure, you know, you'll give me the gun. You'll hand me the puppy. I'll be driving the car. All of that stuff will happen. So you want to minimize the mime. Minimize the mime. Props? Rule of thumb, you're only allowed the props that you would naturally carry on you. Guy, you have a wallet, you have a cell phone, fine. You have a tie on, you know, you take off your jacket, put on your jacket. Sure, you can do that stuff. You wore it in. It makes sense. Whatever a woman might have in her bag, okay. As long as natural things you'd have in your bag. Put on lipstick, pull out this, look at that, use your phone. Whatever. But you don't bring in props. Why? It looks desperate. Always. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, does it really make that big of a deal? Well, no, not if you were the only audition of the day. But when we see 20, 30, 50 of you in a row doing the same dumb little thing, or all of you doing all of this miming, or you bring in props, or you wear your little doctor outfits, it just starts to look pathetic. And we think, you know what? We're looking for a type, and we want to see someone with acting chops. The rest of it we don't care about. And when an actor walks in and knows that's what it's about and keys on that, we somehow, whether we're aware of it or not, they move up in our mind as someone who's obviously a professional. They're not sweating the small stuff. They know where we're not going to not hire them because they didn't hold the gun up and fake a gun for us. They figured out a way around it. Quick story. I was doing a Skype coaching with someone in L.A., and she had to have a shotgun because they were apparently quail hunting. And so we had a discussion about that. I said, please don't do the shotgun. She goes, yeah, but it says that I shoot one of the quail. And she was there giving instruction to all the other people because apparently she's the one who's been hunting all her life. And she was telling everyone how to hold their gun and gun safety. I said, well, you know, you could be there and you're just the one that's giving them instruction. A lot of times people who give instructions don't actually shoot the skeet or the bird because they're there to help the other people. I said, miming looks stupid. I can promise you watching it, I always think not quite as much of the person who goes through these silly gyrations or pretending they have things in their hand that they don't. I could see she was resisting. I said, look, this is our first coaching. I don't want this to be something that weighs on your mind. If miming is something you feel you need to do and you're going to feel more comfortable in that room doing it, then you got to go with your gut. I've told you what I think, but at the end of the day, you've got to do whatever brings you, you know, the most confidence or helps you feel more at peace with this audition. Whatever you need to do, you need to do it. But I said, I promise you, everyone else is going to be doing it. You'll be the one that doesn't and you'll stand out. The next day, she called me and let me know that she decided at the last second not to do it. And as soon as the audition was over, the casting director said, thanks for not miming the shotgun. Well, I know this because of all the experience I've had sitting on the other side of the table. Don't do the miming. Don't do that stuff that makes you sillier, reminds you that you're full of shit and this is all fake. Sitting in the outer office. You people have to stop looking at your stuff and going over and over it before you walk in the room. That is a lousy way to work, man. You're telling yourself, okay, let me just go over one more time before they call my name. No. By the time you show up to the room, you want to be confident. You want to sit there, and if at all possible, for instance, if you've actually had enough time to memorize your lines and you actually have them down, there's no, you got it late last night and it's 6 pages or some situation that was just impossible to overcome. And so you're looking at your lines now. First of all, let me speak to the idea that you've had plenty of time. You definitely know your lines and you may even be holding your script when you go in. No shame in that. You're wearing the right outfit. You're not in all black. You're not wearing your doctor's outfit and playing with your stethoscope. You've walked in and you've sat down. My favorite actor, you just sit there, man. Just sit there. If there's a magazine, look at it. Or just be peaceful. Or what I like to do is watch everyone else. It actually keeps me more grounded because I realize that I can take in everyone else and just let my mind wander and relax. And inside I know I've got this. I don't have to sit here going over and over it, which I think adds to a certain trepidation about walking into the room. Let everyone else do that. Here's one of the biggest absolute no-nos of all. Never practice your lines out loud in the outer office. Oh my goodness. You've seen people do that, right? You see how stupid it looks. Have you no self-respect? And what are you doing? Practicing your lines to a wall to try and get the intonation right? What are you doing? That is not the way to act. You don't go to meetings you're going to have and then sit in the outer office and go over what you're doing and what you're going to say. Don't do that. Sit out there, relax. Start to adopt this feeling that I've got this. I'm going to be fine. Now, these things I'm telling you may not work like a light switch where you'll just try it and all of a sudden, boom, bang, I got it. Although I've had this success with people a lot of times where they do that and it actually works for them immediately. And then they go in and they tend to book more now. But you got to stop that. And if you tell me, but I'm always nervous, I'm just nervous. Okay, well, you're starting to succumb to something you actually have control over. Because first of all, I would point out that those nerves you're feeling, it's really excitement. You're excited. There's nothing wrong with being excited. You know, there's no reason to squelch that. That's a good thing. I would tell you to look out the window at everyone driving by. All those people don't get to go in an audition. They don't get to go in for this role. You do. You're lucky. You're getting to test your mettle. You're having an opportunity to practice the very thing that you long to do. These are all good things. And if you start placing that in the bad column, if you start saying things like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm really good, but I don't like auditioning. That's like a sprinter saying, you know, I love running, but I just don't like the starting part. And then dwelling on that. You're never going to be an Olympian, folks. It's never going to happen with that kind of thinking. So stop it. Why? Because you can. It's a choice. Just try it sometime. Try all of what I've told you. Lose the negativity. Get this stuff down. Cancel out the miming. Don't worry about looking like sheep and wearing the exact same outfit. You know, do something in the spirit of it. When you show up, you're ready to go. Don't think about it anymore. Now, walk into the room. When you walk into that room, my favorite actor walks in, and it's the best version of yourself. Best professional version of yourself. Not wise ass, gregarious, you know, storyteller, joke a second. No, it's a professional situation. We only have a certain amount of time. We need to be expeditious here. So you knowing that and knowing that we're in a bit of a hurry and that we're trying to get the work done, you just knowing that inside and treating it professionally that way is always appreciated. So when you walk into the room, you immediately know that. If we want to take more time with you, that's our option. We're not bashful. We'll keep you there. But right off the bat, you want to have that headset. I'm going to go in, I'm going to nail this, and I'm going to leave. There's some folklore out there where they used to say things like, you know, make sure they remember you. You know, do something so they remember you. Yeah. Here's how we remember you. We remember you when you do a great job. You could sprint into place. Sprint. Literally sprint. Hit your mark. Do the scene. Crush it and sprint out. If you crush the scene, We never forget you. Come in and tell us all sorts of stories and take up our time with some bullshit thing you think we need to hear so we'll remember you. We'll make an effort to forget you. Or if we do remember you, it's for all the wrong reasons. We're in the business of trying to find talent. When we see it, we never forget it. That's how it works. Now, if I engage you in a conversation and, you know, I want you to talk, obviously, you know, but use your common sense to know when the conversation's over. Be respectful. Don't keep pushing it. Don't think, oh, now we're going to become friends. That's not why we hire you. We hire you because you're right for the role and you do an excellent job. So that's the deciding factor there. Oh, be as charming as you would be in a professional situation. Let's get this thing done. Get right to the point, and then leave like the Lone Ranger. Now, another thing about walking in. Never, ever, ever, and when I say that, I mean ever, give us a disclaimer or an excuse about anything. And you people do it, and I know people are listening right now thinking, oh, I'd never do that. I guarantee you do. It is unbelievable to me that actors think that there is something to be gained by saying things like, hey, I just got this morning. There was a mix-up with my agent. I had to go to the doctor. I just got out of the dentist. The public transit, I had to run most of the way here. Crazy, my heel came off my shoe, and I had to carry my shoe, and then now my sock. Well, you wreck one sock, you got to throw out both, I guess, huh? Whatever, man. No disclaimers. Don't. You know, at this moment, I would like to encourage all of you, if you can ever do it, go in and be a reader for a casting director. And you will start to see, if you can do it, the little things people do that are completely annoying and wrong, and then the little things people do that are completely right. And it becomes so evident to you. I'll tell you the other thing it becomes evident is that most of the time a choice is made practically when you walk in the room, and it's always on, well, look, oh, geez, another redhead. We've already got two redheads. We can't have a third redhead. Or they look like they could be brother and sister, not husband and wife, or, you know, whatever. I say that not to tell you that sometimes the cards are stacked against you. No, it's just the opposite. It is, there are things out of your control. So don't worry about it. Don't obsess on, you know, getting the role through your acting. That's not how it is. Sometimes casting is just not going to work. It's happened to me many times. I've had so many talented people come through the doors and thought, I just can't hire you for this or that reason. And sometimes the reasons are so small, but if you do a great job, we remember you. And I have brought people in or just given them a job on something else because I was so impressed with them. You learn so many things doing that. But look, I want to stress this. Please stop with the excuses. Don't excuse your stuff. Walk in. I don't care if you just did have a traffic accident. I don't care if, in fact, the thing was just given to you, just got it on your phone and ran here the whole way. Be quiet. Because the problem is, you see, somebody who got the script 3 days ago could make up that story. Right? People make up stuff all the time. To offer a disclaimer, you could say your cat died. You were just at the vet. And it's all a big lie in order to get some sympathy because you were out drinking last night. You didn't have enough time to look at your scripts. And now you. So none of that stuff is taken seriously. None of it. Even if you said, my mother just died this morning, and she did. You know, I hate to say it, but while we will feel horrible for you, of course, and you know, that's a very sad thing, we don't ever want to think in terms that something could happen that might interrupt this person's chances to do a good job on our set. Because that's where the term "the show must go on" comes from. Even if something did harm, and I hope it doesn't, but if it did, well, you would still have to do your part. And it might be the role of a person who is getting the best news of their life on this particular day in the shoot. No excuses. None. If you goof up, none. If you didn't offer an excuse and you keep going up and then you say, well, I didn't have time to look at it or I just got it this morning. No. No excuses. Once you walk in the room, once you hit your mark, there are no excuses. Don't do that stuff. Now, you see, it's not just about for the sake of the other side of it. It is about a mindset that I like to train the actors in, and that is no excuses. And what happens is you start to become an actor who then doesn't need excuses. If you're someone who has excuses, you will always need them. And if you're someone who says no excuses, you know what? I'm here now, and it is what it is. This is the best I can do. Judge me on it. I've always said, I just want what I have coming. In other words, whatever I have a right to, in other words, whatever my skill set, whatever my abilities, whatever that is, I would like whatever that's worth. I don't need any more because it wouldn't be fair. I just feel like, no, let me earn what I'm worth. I just don't want any less. That's all. And I think that's fair. So when I've gotten anxious about something, I think to myself, well, hey, man, you know, this is the Wild Kingdom. I guess if I'm the right person and I have the skill set, I'll get it. And if not, I guess I won't. And so I guess it's left to me to try and sharpen that skill set until I am undeniably the person they want. That's just how it is. And if you start accepting that and that kind of becomes part of the fabric of who you are, it is unbelievable how much more powerful you'll be in these situations. You won't be sweating things about the script that you can't change. You'll have accepted it, so you're a total pro. You don't badmouth the project you're on ever. You won't obsess over miming or your outfit or anything because you know that at the end of the day, it's about your acting chops and the way you look. And about your demeanor in the sense that I know for myself and I know from the people I've worked with and partnered with on projects, we like to hire good, solid humans. We're not interested in acting animals. And these acting animals come in. They think that, you know, I don't know where they've been, but they've been somewhere where it's all about the acting and the process and all the stuff they're doing. And they kind of walk in, you know, and it's, yeah, how you doing? It's I got this thing I want to try and we'll see what happens. You know, which is like, come on. No, man. We just want real human beings to walk in that seem respectful and cordial and have manners and know that we're in a hurry, but at the same time seem completely present and can take this moment and stop it in time, deliver an incredible experience, be gracious, and then leave like they have somewhere else to go. Because that's attractive. And so, folks, if you can get out of the habit of always asking to do it over and over again, you'd be better served down the road. You really would be. For me, doing it again is really break glass in case of emergency, only if you really, really poop the bed and you're positive it's going to be completely different. Because most of the time people say, can I do it again? It doesn't really look that different to us. It's about the same. They feel a little better. They wasted another, you know, 4 minutes of our time and now we're getting backed up. And think of it like you think you can dance. You know, dancing. You get to do it once. You don't get to say, oh, my shoes are weird. Can I do it again? No, we want the dancer that does it the first time. That's how it is. Now, does it mean that you can't? Yeah, of course you can't. But some of you people are in a habit of it. You see, what happens is then the whole time you're doing your audition, you're in your head thinking, oh, I don't know, should I stop? I think I could do this better. And then you've since you've allowed that to be an aspect of what you could do, it starts to creep in way too early. And now it's just sitting on your shoulder and you're whispering to yourself, nah, I think you're going to need to do this one again. And that human beings don't think this way. We don't get to take moments over. And if you do space out for a second, in life you space out sometimes. You've done it. I'd be sitting there talking with someone that's telling me a story. All of a sudden I'm looking in their eyes and realizing I'm not really in their story. I'm thinking about the fact that I'm looking at them. Then I'm wondering if they're looking at me, realizing I'm not listening to them. But I don't throw my hand up like some soccer player and say, hey, I'm out. I just forget about that. I don't put any power in it. And then it's 20 minutes later and I realize, oh, I guess I was back where I'm supposed to be. These are the kinds of powers that you want to acquire as an actor, because it'll happen on a set. I'll come out for a moment. So what? It's a set. There's a bunch of people. The whole wall's missing right there. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. No shame in that. You know, we're not delusional. And then I just put my mind back where it's supposed to go. And if they like it, I guess we did it. And you look at it later, nobody can tell. Why? Because we can't tell everything everyone's thinking all the time. We have all sorts of thoughts about the people we're speaking to. We don't let them see it. That we don't go, oh my God, I was just thinking that I really don't like you and I wish you'd shut up. We just sit and go, oh yeah, that's funny. That's great. Well, good seeing you again, Jim. And we walk away. Don't obsess over this stuff. Actors get so obsessed about, you know, being in the moment and really seeing it and really feeling it that you end up never being in that moment because you're so obsessed about whether you're in or you're out. Don't do that. When it's over, be gracious. Say thanks so much for your time, folks, and leave. Don't look at them with big pie eyes. Don't try and figure out if they liked you or not. Don't say things like, is there anything else you'd like to see me do? Can I do it again? People do that sometimes even when they give a great performance. I think, what would you do differently? And I've been asked, you know, say, hey, if they said, that was good for us, Jeff, do you want to do it again? I'd say, not unless you want me to do something different. I'm okay with that. That's it. That always looks like confidence to us. And when you act like you've got somewhere to go, not in a hurry, not rude, just like you know we're busy and you too probably have a life that you need to get back to, you always seem more special to us. I mean, ultimately, I hate to say it, but we kind of want to hire the cool people because we know we can hire anyone. So we'd kind of like to hang out with people that seem confident and assured and we'll enjoy having them on the set and seeing them at the craft service table. And they seem like good folk. That's really what we want. We don't want acting animals, pent-up people are all on time. We don't want that. Now, are there exceptions? Does somebody come in and he's like that, but, you know, the deal is that you look just like the person we want and you're all weird and that, you know, it's not the role in the thing, so maybe we can put up with your nonsense behavior. Yeah, it happens. That's how those people get hired. But it never makes us comfortable. We don't want weirdos around, man. Because it starts to send the vibe off. Then when that person walks up, everyone feels, oh, what's up with this guy? What's up with this girl? What is this? And it kind of screws with the vibe on a set. Which while many of you think, well, we're, you know, it's art and everything. Yeah, it is a little bit. But we're also kind of just like building a car. You know, a lot of pretty much blue-collar people are sitting around trying to make a product. It's just not a car, but it's still a product. And we're just trying to do it. And once you've been on a set for even 3, 4, 5 days, all that magic, that goes away. It's just, I get it now. It's arduous. It's a lot of work. We have to move all this stuff constantly. Everybody's got to get in different outfits. Then we come in, and then we act out this part, and then we're going to assemble it all later, and then put music to it, and then hopefully we're going to tell this little tale, and it's going to entertain people. It's not really magic. It's instead of baking bread, we're baking entertainment. We're just making something. So we'd like to hang out with other workers that are, you know, easy to be around, user friendly, can get it done quickly, aren't going to complain and give us a bunch of excuses. That's what we want. So, I promise you, if you start to get yourself in this mindset, okay? If you start to not sweat all that little stuff, don't put yourself through the ringer with this stuff. Just, I want you to pretend when you go out on your next calls that you are a pro, that you can sit in that outer office without going over and over, that when you feel that excitement, that nervousness, that when you feel that nervousness, you just turn that into beautiful excitement, because it's so exciting to be in this moment, the place where you've always wanted to be, and here you go again. You get another opportunity to test yourself, to prove yourself, to have fun. When you walk into the room, you know, without trying hard, you just seem like a ray of sunshine. And you're so easy. You know, 9 out of 10 people are visibly nervous, but I mean detrimentally so. I don't mean you look excited. I'd expect you to be a little excited if you walked in. Hey, guys, you know, you just seem up. You've used those nerves to kind of give you this sense of fun, excitement. You seem shiny. You're walking into the room. You have no questions. Please try not to have any questions. When they say questions, just try not to have any. People say the dumbest things. Yeah, yeah, we drive in. What is this? Is this like a Cadillac I'm in, or is it maybe one of them Dodges, you know? Keep it all to a minimum. Crush it. Leave like the Lone Ranger. Try that. And then let me know how it works for you. Leave the miming to the mimes. Please, I implore you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Real Life Actor Podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please subscribe. Let us know you're listening on social media, and feel free to email us at jeff@reallifeactor.com with any questions you'd like me to answer on the air. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.